For the galaxy.
We're back.
And we're finally talking about the show.
Yeah, it only took us 12 episodes or so.
He keeps talking about how we're going to do it, and then we just don't. But now we're officially here. We're
finally doing it.
We finally had time.
And you guys are going to laugh when I tell you that we've already watched the 5th and 6th episode of Book of Boba Fett, and we're going to talk about that tomorrow. For you guys, it'll be next week, though.
Yeah, man. So this is going enjoy up immediately, that. So yeah. Welcome. So, yeah, this is Far as Galaxy Star Wars Podcast. I'm your local scruffy-looking Nerf Herder, Hunter, and I'm joined by Jeremy Thrower with you.
I'm sorry.
This week we're going to be covering Mando Season 1. Before we get to that, we got some news.
Yes, got a hefty chunk.
Yeah, it's not. It's actually news. A little bit more than I originally thought, but it's still not as much as we've had in the past.
No. We've had a lot.
All right, so real quick, some gameplay has surfaced of the long-canceled Star Wars game 1313, which was being developed, coincidentally, in 2013. Mm-hmm.
Uncharted, but Boba Fett.
Yeah, the gameplay shows a younger Boba Fett on Coruscant doing a lot of Nathan Drake Uncharted-like things. And after watching it a little bit closer, I actually would compare it more to Assassin's Creed than Uncharted. Yeah.
Well, because the original trailer we got where he's not in the armor, like the original gameplay
trailer.
It's
a different guy, apparently.
Oh, that was
I watched a
character?
Video on it, them talking about it. Apparently, that guy that's out of the helmet is a completely different character. It wasn't going to be about Boba Fett, but then George decided at some point that, I like Boba Fett. Boba Fett could be popular. Let's make a game about Boba. I think it's because of before, obviously, he sold to Disney. I imagine that they probably wanted to tackle a Boba Fett story.
Yeah, but the gameplay we just saw was...
That is Boba.
Comparatively ugly compared to the other one. The other one was like a cinematic,
and that was really, apparently, the reason this game was canceled was... Along with the shakeup of Lucasfilm being sold to Disney, they were also having to pivot now away from, we're writing this story about this new character, and now we have to make it fit as a Boba Fett story.
Yeah.
And the original character that we see is actually in this cut gameplay. He's in the cut gameplay. If you watch it, a guy like gets pushed back and falls, and Boba catches him and pushes him back. That's the guy from the original gameplay.
Oh.
It's pretty weird. Yeah. I for years thought that was Boba until like a couple days ago when I looked into it.
You know, this would have been so when Disney bought everything, they wanted to make the games themselves. That's why we got things like Disney Infinity. For years, we had Disney Infinity only for Marvel and Star Wars. And
we talked about the shitty Star Wars games.
After that went downhill, that's when they started shipping it off to Battlefront, to EA. And then we got Battlefront, Battlefront 2, Squadrons, and Fallen Jedi, and then all the mobile games.
If you think about LucasArts and the games that they made, right?
Back in the day, they were awesome.
They drew in so much revenue, and Disney just wasn't getting that. It's funny, she's smelling the box.
And she's like, this is new.
She's like, what's this? And Disney, they just weren't seeing the revenue like they wanted, because they were marketing this at fucking, like... wine moms on Facebook and children. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, Angry Birds, Star Wars, moms and kids love this. Mm-hmm. And then there was us who like, can we have Battlefront 3 now?
Can we have those games that we wanted to play?
Can we have like a real game? Can we have Force Unleashed 3?
Yeah.
Good things come in threes.
That's facts. That's why Star Wars is always a trilogy.
I was saying that maybe this game is getting all of a sudden shown off because maybe it's getting a resurgence
in
some
way.
Now that we've had
Book,
right? It's like he's more prominent for people. People know a little bit more about him now. This would be the perfect time to make a young Boba Fett game.
They also did say that there is still one unannounced Star Wars game.
Yes.
And then the Ubisoft open world one could easily be this.
It could be, and I'd be thrilled with that. Because
Ubisoft makes Assassin's Creed games.
That's exactly the link I was going to. I'm like, this gameplay looks like Assassin's Creed. And the only reason I could see it surfacing now in 2022, when this game was canceled back in 2013, is that somebody is using it for reference material. And they're like, I'll just post it.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool. Whatever. Like who posted this? I don't even know. I'm sure I'm not sure. But who knows?
Yeah. I would be excited if they brought 1313 back and just made it a Boba Fett game for Ubisoft. Or it could just go back to not being Boba Fett and could just be 1313 with that guy again.
Mm.
Give us a nice open... I don't like having games for characters we know like Fates for.
Mm-hmm.
Like especially if Boba dies at the end of season 1 or season 2 of Book of Boba Fett. Then it's like, yeah, we know Kenobi dies, but Kenobi died back in the 70s.
Yeah.
So it's different that we're getting all his stuff now because it's like, filling more gaps for him because he's a fan favorite.
He's also a significantly more popular character than he was when he first got introduced.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Clone Wars and the prequels did so much for
Boba Fett was popular at the beginning, then he dwindled, and then he came back and people don't like him now.
Let me see, I'm looking at
Polygon. He's not even the star of his own show anymore.
The Vault, a YouTube channel dedicated to gameplay videos, looks back at the original Battlefront 3, posted the clip late Wednesday.
Mm.
So wherever they got it from, it doesn't even look like so. Wherever the vault got it from.
Think about it. Ubisoft has a lot of leaks. It was probably stolen from a Ubisoft server.
It could be. And that's what I'm saying is the only reason I could see this coming out is somebody's using it as reference, mm-hmm. and that's the only reason
it's being like when the Darth Maul game resurfaced. They were using it for reference for Fallen Order.
Yeah.
The Darth Maul game resurfaced around the same time Second Force Unleashed came out, and then right around the time they started developing the Fallen Order.
So I don't want to say that it is happening, but
it's very highly possible.
If anybody wants to ride our hype train, that's what's happening.
That's the Ubisoft game, man. It's
coming.
13-13-2.
I'd be thrilled, dude. Boba Fett 13-13. That you could call it Boba Fett 13-13.
Even if it's not Boba Fett.
Yeah. Even if it's not, I don't care. You could even just do a Mando game, dude. A young Din. What is it? I was saying this to Christina. Mm-hmm. I'm like, they need to tell us in Mando season 3 how he can speak Tusken. And how he is so chill with the Tuskens. Because while I've been rewatching it, right, that episode when he's with Cobb Vanth, mm-hmm. and they're walking through, and then all the dogs come down, and Cobb's getting ready to fight, and Mando just puts his gun away, and he's like, "Arr!" I'm like, he knows. I'm like, he knows. And he can also do the, like, he knows how to speak to them. He knows how to do the sign. I'm like, how did he learn to do this? I was like, is the Mando that found him a Tusken? Like, what is this? What's this story? I want to know. We need Mando's backstory.
The only thing we have is he doesn't like droids because they killed his family, and then he was adopted by Death Watch, and he's a...
And he can speak Tusken.
And he's the cult Mandalorian who wears the helmets and speaks Tusken.
Yeah, but it's like...
And now he has to go to the... I think we're going to get his backstory in Season 3. Barring what seeing what we've seen from Episode 5 and 6, which we'll talk about tomorrow / next week, we'll probably get his entire backstory in Season 3 to end it up.
So good.
Because he's going back to Mandalore, or wherever the caves are under Mandalore, or whatever, to get his... stuff back, essentially.
Spoilers for Episode 5 of Book of Boba.
Fucking watch it.
Straight up, at this point, if you haven't watched it,
do. Fucking watch it.
We might let something slip about Episode 6. We're going to try not to, but we might. Never know.
I can see it. All right. All right, SWTOR is getting another new content update, Legacy of the Sith. We got a story trailer for it.
We did.
Yeah, it looks cool, man.
It does look cool.
You've been playing SWTOR, so how's your experience with that so far?
It's been kind of middling, honestly. Mm-hmm. At the beginning, it was really cool. You know, I was thinking it was fun doing the Jedi thing, but I hit a point with it where I'm kind of like, I'm like 10 to 12 hours in guesstimating, and I just feel like I'm doing busy work. You know, I'm not doing like the climactic battles between Jedi and Sith that you're looking for, right? It's like there's like a group of Sith guys that I'm tracking down, mm-hmm. but it takes like 3 to 4 hours at a time to find one of these guys.
Yeah.
And it's filled with like mediocrity in between. And I'm one of those guys who I see a side quest, I'm going to grab it.
Well, that's the problem.
And that stuff is really sidetracking me. And the side quests just aren't that fun. Because it'll be like, go get this thing so that the bad guys don't have it.
So I'm they don't have it first.
I'm like, all right. You know, doesn't feel as impactful as KOTOR, per se.
Yeah, well, that's because that's a streamlined single-player RPG. MMORPGs have that thing. It's why I can't play Final Fantasy XIV. It's why I can't play World of Warcraft. Mm-hmm. It's because I want to play the story, because I've heard the story's cool, but all the tedious side quests, like, it's a mandatory side quest to go learn how to cook.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? Yeah. Let me just play the game. Yeah, I don't give a shit about crafting.
That's the biggest issue, because you play a game like KOTOR, and it's like, all right, you land on the planet. One, it's not that big, because the game is older. And that's another thing, SWTOR, the planets are enormous. Yeah. There's like a million places to go
on
every planet. I'd
rather buy everything than craft anything. Yeah. I'd rather you give me more money, or even less money that I have to go find, than me finding materials to craft things in MMOs.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. Honestly, I just don't like the second life and second job aspect of MMOs. That's the thing that stopped me from continuing with Final Fantasy XIV when I played it way back ago. And it's the thing that's going to stop me from playing this game when I get to... I am going to finish it. I've already committed that I'm going to play through the main story. And because I bought the subscription, I'm going to pay for it until I finish all the DLC stuff.
Because
I just want to see it. I want to get that Star Wars story. You know, and then whenever you get a computer, I'll be more than willing to play it with you, because then I'll have somebody to play
with. I'll just get the thing you got with the subscription, get my character to max, and we'll just plow through it.
Just run through
it. I ain't fucking around.
Yeah, no. So
if I have the option to be the strongest and play through easy mode games, done.
Yeah.
I like stories. I don't want to wait and have to grind because I'm weak.
That's the other thing, too. In a game like KOTOR, you land on the planet. It's like, we're here to find the star map. There's, like, another main story that's kind of happening, but the end of that will get you to the star
map. That's fine.
In SWTOR, they're like, there's, like, 5 main quests on every planet. I'm like, why?
Well, as long as they're main quests, I'll take the main quests.
They're just not that good, some of them.
The one with the war that you described before was pretty cool.
Some of them are cool. There was one I did that was pretty neat. It was just the way that it was. It just felt like it was dragging for too long.
Yeah.
Where you go to Nar Shaddaa and they're like, oh, we got these power soldier guys. It's like a secret program that the Empire, or no, the I believe the Republic was working on. They didn't tell the Jedi. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is cool. They were basically making guys who were meant to like combat the Jedi mm-hmm. and stronger than them and combat the Sith. And they didn't tell them. Right, and I was like, "All right, this is cool. I want to see like the outcome of this. I want to fight some of these guys." And then it's like you go to the first dungeon, you fight the level one power guy, and, you're like, and then you go to the next, the level two power. Like, really, this is what we're doing? You get to the last, the level three power, and then you get to the final dungeon, and it's like there's a Jedi who was turned into one. I'm like, this would have been cool from the get go.
Just give me a bunch of Jedi. Yeah,
just give me a bunch of Jedi to fight because all these guys. I'm also like 10 levels higher than I'm supposed to be because I'm doing all the side bullshit. Yeah. That's another annoying thing about the game. I'm level like 32, but if the planet that you're on is like a lower level planet, they level gate you. So it says that my level is adjusted to 25.
Oh, so I'm even like, if you have a max level character,
if you're level like 70, it'll be like you're being adjusted to 25 on this planet.
Well, then at least I don't have to grind.
I mean,
anyway.
The gear obviously that you have will still be like the kick-ass gear. Mm-hmm. That's not coming down. But if you have garbage gear and just your high level, right? It's kind of whatever. You're just the highest level for that zone.
Yeah, we shall see. I'm definitely interested. And it getting DLC in 2022 is fucking crazy.
Yeah, that was the main reason I kind of put it in here. I think it's cool that a game that's this old, I think it came out in 2011, is still getting content. You know, this far out. So that's incredible. It's the only thing pretty much that like survived the purge. That and Revan now it's starting to feel like. You know, I hope that they make KOTOR and SWTOR canon, because it's just so far back.
With the remake coming out, I wouldn't be surprised if they do it, especially because Disney was like, yeah, sure, we could do this.
The only thing that I don't like about KOTOR and SWTOR is they're like thousands of years prior to like episode one, but the technology is pretty much all the same.
It's Star Wars.
Yeah, I know. I just feel like...
like in High Republic,
in like 3,000 years, maybe the technology should change a little bit, right? And obviously they did that because they're like, Star Wars sells as Star Wars. Yeah. We can't change it too drastically, so we'll just be like, everything's a generation behind. It's like 3,000 years and you guys only made it like one generation.
Well, think
up
about
all
it.
The droids, weapons and ships.
Dawn of the Jedi is like 12,000 years ago and they have like regular swords.
Yeah, they got regular but they also have spaceships.
They do.
It's like, okay.
They also fly on Rancor like, dragons.
All right. So. Yeah. It's a little weird. Alright, we're on to the Lego helmets.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah.
So we got some Lego stuff. We got the Resistance helmet. We got a Mando helmet, straight up. Not just Mandalorian, like the Mandalorian Din.
Yes.
And we have one of the, I forget what they're called, but like the Death Bot Trooper dudes.
I think they're just called Death Troopers.
They're called Death Troopers? I thought the Death Troopers were the black ones. Oh, those are Purge Troopers. Or is it the other way around? Either way, Death or Purge Trooper helmet. It's the robot ones that Luke eats, basically. He goes, nom, nom, nom.
And those are the Death Troopers.
Yeah. And then season 2, episode 8, and then also, or season 2, episode 9, whatever. Also, we're getting a Luke Skywalker in Moff Gideon's ship killing all the droids thing, too.
Oh, that's going to be cool, man. Yeah. Oh, they're not the Death Troopers. The Death Troopers are the black guys from Rogue One.
So I think it's their Purge Troopers.
Okay.
Or maybe they're not. Either way.
I feel like it's something else.
We'll call them the Death Bots.
I feel like the Purge Troopers.
Call them the Egg Bots. Like Eggman.
Purge Troopers from Fallen Order, isn't it?
I think.
Yeah, it's those guys that wear, like, the skirts and they have lightsabers.
Okay, well, I'm trying.
We'll
get them.
Robot end of Mando. Let's do that.
Yep. And so, I mean, I might get the Mando helmet. I do like a lot of the Mando stuff. And a Lego helmet seems cool to get.
Mm-hmm.
I've never liked any of the other ones so far. Like, I'm a huge Boba guy. The Resistance helmet seems okay, but the Mando helmet seems pretty cool.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm just not a huge fan of these Lego helmets, because if I'm going to buy something, I want to wear it.
Yeah,
and they're just small, you know? Again, it's cool.
They're not
you're
too
like,
small. But,
and I'm a Lego collector. I'm very selective, you know? Like, even that, you sent me the Mjolnir, Thor's hammer.
Yeah,
cool. And I'm like, it's cool. I'd rather have
it's
a hammer.
It's actually like life-size.
Yeah,
like,
it looks like and it's life-size, but you hit it against the wall, it's going to shatter. I want a hammer that you can hit against the wall, and it's going to put a dent in the wall.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Man, I feel like an asshole right now not knowing what these droids are called.
All right, guys, back. Hopefully that's not an abrupt opening for you guys.
It's probably pretty abrupt. Because it's tomorrow.
Because we're talking about the Dark Troopers, and all of a sudden it cuts to this going,
We didn't even say Dark Trooper. We didn't even get there.
Nope, we got it now.
We're like Black Stormtrooper
guy. I think you got it near the end.
I got it, I think, after we cut.
Maybe.
I'm not sure.
Because I think I cut it back all the way to... I think the last thing you said was, I can't believe I don't know what these things are fucking called. So that they're going to hear that and then hear this and be like, what the fuck? Yeah. Had some stuff interrupt our recording session, but we're back and we're doing a double feature. But you guys will never know because this episode's going to drop today.
Yeah, except for when next week's episode comes out and there's no news.
Well, I think I got a little bit.
Yeah, we're talking about it now.
No, man. Because
we're still in the middle of it.
I think there's a there's been news that dropped news since yesterday. Yeah, I think they dropped something this morning.
Okay.
So we'll see. I got to remember what it is. Next bit of news. The Legos are cool.
Yeah.
Let's hop into the Kenobi comic that got announced and subsequently... low-key teasing the Kenobi show.
Yeah,
it was this is all one weird event.
So the Kenobi comic was announced that it's going to be coming out. And I think you said it's going to be five, right?
It's five-issue miniseries. Yeah. It's an anthology that tells the tale of Obi-Wan's life, filling in the gaps.
Thrilled for that. Awesome. Can't wait to see what that's going to be. Just so excited. Yeah, that's like day one buys for me each for time.
Sure. Yeah, it's going to be
so, yeah, and alongside that, in a now-deleted tweet that was captured by a Reddit user, Disney Streaming Enterprise Program Manager, say that 18 times fast, Brandon Sangiovanni seemed to suggest the series would premiere soon. Using Kenobi's iconic "Hello there" line, Sangiovanni noted that our very own Obi-Wan would be on Disney Plus in May.
So this is where I come at it with a little bit of skepticism, and maybe this guy did just fuck up, but then again, his job is Disney streaming.
Yeah.
But the "Hello There" tagline was used to also promote the comic book that also drops in May that got the news on the same day. So either he jumped the gun and thought, oh, the announcement we just got for Obi-Wan, that's what I can start talking about it now. Mm-hmm. Or he's just mispromoted it.
I would feel like somebody who's high up, I don't know if this role is even high up. It sounds like it is. The streaming enterprise program manager.
He probably
sounds
manages the programs.
Probably sounds like you know some stuff, right? And he's like, Obi-Wan, Disney Plus in May.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this isn't something that this guy would misconstrue. Like, oh, the comic book is coming out, but Disney Plus, like, is that what's... It's like, no, you're working on these things. You would probably have a good idea of what's coming. And I'm thinking he probably saw the comic announcement when, oh, sweet, they announced it. Now I can talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
that's
you said.
Exactly what
yeah,
I
like
feel
you
like
said.
It was.
So.
But we knew it was coming in May, like low key.
Well, that's what we're still hoping, because it's still not even officially confirmed. I feel like after this, it's going to be kind of a push. And that's why I'm hoping that we get a trailer for it at the end of Book of Boba next week.
We have exactly one more episode till book is done.
Yeah.
That's where our timeline is for you listeners.
I can actually watch the episode in the morning, and then we can talk about it in the afternoon.
Yes.
Yes.
You can talk about it in the morning.
We'll be able to do that.
So we can talk about it. That means you got to pick me up, though, because Robbie's going to pick me up early. I'm not going to be able to finish the episode.
Let's see what happens.
Oh, man.
I'll wake up early just for this. It's a special occasion. You never know.
Dude, you went on YouTube last time and got spoiled on like the three biggest reveals.
I'm like, I can't. I'm like, for the finale. My dad's like, I'm going to be on vacation. He's like, you're going to watch it without me? I'm like, yes.
I have to.
I'm like, it's not my fault. You're going away. I will
be
watching
it when you're home.
He said he's going to bring his iPad and watch it on there. I'm like, enjoy.
Bring the Fire Stick and just plug it into the TV.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what are you doing? So, but whatever.
I will be able to watch early, and then we'll be able to talk about it Wednesday and get that episode recorded
out as
and
soon
ready
as possible.
Yeah.
Choice.
Yes. So yeah, Kenobi might be coming in May. We'll see, I guess, if that turns into anything.
If people are still curious on whether Kenobi or Andor is coming first, I believe it's Kenobi.
I hope it's Kenobi, for obvious reasons.
We all love
aside Kenobi from him being my favorite. Mm-hmm. I just think it's going to be the more interesting show.
I think the Andor show is going to be similar to Book of Boba Fett, where it has hype around it, mm-hmm, but it's one of those shows that's just basically there to fill in a gap.
I feel like Andor, because... And we're going to talk about it because the whole Ahsoka show thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she has the potential to make an appearance there and possibly be integrated. This is where she gets her...
Well, Ahsoka can show up at any point until she dies.
Exactly.
Because we know how long she survives.
We don't even know that she is dead.
Oh,
because
yeah,
come episode 9, everyone's like, oh, so Ahsoka's dead because she force ghosted. And Dave's like, yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, we know she makes it to Mandalorian and Book of Boba, so we know she makes it that far. So she mm-hmm could show up in Kenobi or Andor and get the codename Fulcrum for Rebels.
Yes.
Because we have to figure out why she goes by Fulcrum.
Well, we know why.
Do we?
Yes. It is the tag that Anakin gave to Saw Gerrera during the Clone Wars. And I believe he used it himself. So mm-hmm then after the end of the war, she took that.
Well, then we have to know when she starts using it.
Yeah. Yeah, why. I would like to see her get integrated into the Rebellion, right? Mm. Not just be like...
Because she shows up at the end of Season 1 of Rebels, and then she's just there.
It's probably not much of an integration. You find the people leading the Rebellion, you're like, I'm a Jedi. And
I'm
they're like, sweet. You know, that's good for us.
Yeah, but she's
you're
communicating with a bunch of smugglers called the Phoenix Squadron. The Phoenix. They're rebels. Whatever they are. Yeah.
They're not smugglers, though. They well, work, I mean, Kanan wants they to work directly for the rebellion. Hera well, does. Indirectly at first. Yeah. Only directly through Hera. Yeah. Yeah. Gotta love Rebels. That wasn't annoying and confusing.
That wasn't aggravating. Stupid.
That wasn't like 10 episodes of Are We Rebels?
It's teased in New Dawn, so if you read that book before you watch the show, you kind of know what the surprise is. But obviously it's called Star Wars fucking Rebels. So it's not like it's called Star Wars Smugglers Turn Rebels. Like, oh man, they're just guys.
I don't know. Cassian, this show, it's...
I'm excited
because setting him as the main character.
I like Cassian, I like Alan Tiddick. So.
They said he's not even in the show.
He's been on the set a lot, so.
I mean, I believe
that. Or maybe it's not K2, but he just voices all the assassin droids. I believe that
he would be in the show, yeah. You know. Maybe this is how they get K2 towards the end. I was going to say, like, later season half.
One, he's got to yeah. show up and be like, hey, I'm.
I can buy that.
Yeah, because he says he's a repurposed assassin droid.
Because I saw it a while back. They were like, oh, he said he's not in it. He said he's not in it. It's like, but if he's on set, he's probably in it.
Yeah.
Because he's the fucking guy.
I think he's crossed. I mean, he's also just, like, integrated into a lot of this kind of stuff, and they film a lot of the same shows and stuff that he's in. He actually, while he was filming his show Resident Alien, he was around the set of Peacemaker, and when John Cena wasn't available to record the opening dance number, Tiddick was there to help choreograph.
I'm not gonna lie.
And
I was like, why? The trailers for that show make it look like shit.
Oh, dude, it's amazing.
It's good.
It's so good.
Dude, the trailers, it's just him, like, my people are coming to destroy the planet.
Oh, Resident Alien.
I'm like, shut up.
I thought you were talking about Peacemaker. I'm like, Peacemaker
oh, no.
Slaps.
No,
I'm Resident Alien is also good.
Okay.
But I just like Tiddick, so I might be biased.
Fair enough.
Tiduk, however you call him. Around.
Tudyk?
Tudyk? I think it's Tudyk. Tudyk makes sense.
Tudyk. Alan Tudyk.
Duke Whistleton.
He's got two dicks.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. I can't believe I just said that.
Oh, no.
First
but
thing,
if he does.
First thing that popped into mind. Don't know why.
Like Tails. Like that whole Tails theory. It's like, does Tails have two penises? It's like, who cares?
Well, he doesn't wear pants, clothes. And you don't see his penises.
Well,
so.
It just hides under the fur, like Sonic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's there.
But... I didn't know we were this kind of podcast now.
It's there, you just gotta look for it.
Oh, okay, you gotta sift. Yeah. Alright, let's just move on to the...
Alright, topic of the week! Oh, no content updates besides Book of Boba Fett, which we're covering, so we're not really gonna talk about that.
Yeah, no.
And we don't do comic content, we just do like, oh, there's a documentary out, that's tight.
Yeah, if we were reading the comment, the Comics Weekly,
I read Aphra. But, like, it's cool.
Yeah.
Nothing really crazy happening. She got that Sith artifact from the end of War of the Bounty Hunters.
I still didn't even read War of the Bounty Hunters.
It'll come out in big omnibus.
I have to read, like, the whole Majigamas.
Well, yeah, waiting for it to come out. Big omnibus coming out, and I'll throw it at you.
It probably hurt.
On the get. It's going to be thick.
Probably
gonna,
pretty
like,
heavy.
Like 15 books, so it's going to be pretty thick.
Thick boy. That'll be a good one.
Yeah, man, that'd be a great one to cover. All right, so Mando's season one. Yes. Not a lot of notes on this, but a lot of stuff to cover because it is the big shebang.
I wrote literally, like, the amount of notes I wrote for the last two episodes of Book of Boba Fett compared to the amount of notes I wrote for the entirety of Mando season one. It's abysmal.
It's because you've seen Mando season one note, like, multiple times.
One note for Mando season one.
That was going to be a short episode.
I didn't want to spend... Honestly, I just didn't want to spend too much time on this show.
I feel like we've talked about it loosely for, like, the last, like, 40 episodes.
Well, aside from that, this is probably the biggest Star Wars thing for, like, everybody. You know, like...
Oh, book or Mando?
Mando.
Oh, yeah.
This is the thing that most casual fans have already seen. I feel like we really need to talk about it overly
much. Your uncle describes it as a Star Wars show for people who don't like Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't like Star Wars, you'll love this. Because it's Star Wars, but it's not, like, in your face about it. I mean, season two gets a little in your face.
Yeah, you know, it's got, like, references and moments here, but there's nothing overly, like, oh, that's, like, a callback to, like, a million fucking
years
ago.
Season one has tiny callbacks, and then the biggest callback they have is... the potential Moff Gideon cloning thing on his ship.
Season two, I'm more than halfway through it now. Watching season two.
Does season one have any
real
callbacks?
To talk about
besides like set pieces.
The Darksaber.
Yeah, right at the end.
Yeah, the Darksaber. IG,
but that's because it's a unit.
Grogu being the baby Yoda. Yeah, you know, Mando is a Mando.
And then seeing the battle droids.
Yeah.
That's, like, the coolest stuff about it. And the Mando season 2, they're like, now that our indie show got really big, let's now make it crazy for Star Wars fans, where they have Ahsoka, Bo-Katan, fucking Jedi's.
You
guys want to
see Boba Fett in the first episode?
It's Boba. Guys, that's fucking Boba Fett.
Cobb Vanth from the books and from the comics.
Dude, I was so pissed when they showed Boba Fett originally at the beginning of season 2. And then a bunch of people online were like, what if that's, like, Captain Rex? I'm like, are you people, like, serious?
It wouldn't be...
I'm like, Captain Rex would be, like, 80. I'm like, he wouldn't. He wouldn't look like that.
They're metal geared. Yeah. We know what he looks like at the end of episode 6. He's got a big beard.
He's got a beard. That's canonically. He's an old man. Yep. 5 years later, he's either an older man or dead. The dude we saw at the end of Mando season 2 episode 1 was a crispy bacon.
I think they got Tamora coming in for the Kenobi show and for Ahsoka for sure.
We're gonna get Rex's on screen death. I'm going to throw this out there now while we're on the subject. Mm-hmm. I feel like he deserves that, quite frankly, after the treatment he's been getting at his show. Yeah.
Oh, to come back as Rex?
Yeah. Sure. I feel like he deserves more because, and we'll talk about it for that episode that we're going to record after this, yeah. But Book of Boba Fett doesn't really feel like the Book of Boba Fett. It felt like that for the first 4 episodes, and now it's like the, whatever.
It's Star Wars.
Just throw it at the wall and see if it sticks.
I think... Rex for sure has to appear in Kenobi, at least in like a flashback or in like the Clone Wars armor set piece.
I'd even take Commander Cody.
Anyone,
because they were like,
Cody's not dead.
They were them boys.
Cody's not
so
dead.
So what if Cody is like working under an Inquisitor now or something, mm-hmm. right? And Obi-Wan would be like, dude, that's like my clone.
Fry's
tried
trip.
To kill me, right? It's like, but maybe I could get him on my side, you know?
Yeah.
We've never
and then
seen.
Maul kills him.
We've never really seen Obi-Wan interact with the clones during or post Order 66, yeah. aside from straight up just killing them.
I think there's one he kind of talks to.
He's like, I'm just fucking murk you. And there's a deleted scene where they roll up to the Jedi Temple and the clones are wearing robes.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, oh, we handled the threat. It's good to see you. And Obi-Wan's like, you clones make terrible Jedi.
Because you sound the same.
Yeah, because you all look the same and sound the same.
What's
this
cool
was
is
never going
they
to
took that
out.
Deleted scene and made it like a whole level in the Lego game.
They did.
It was really cool.
They did in the Revenge of the Sith game, too.
Oh, tight.
You get to do that whole thing.
Tight.
Revenge of the Sith game is awesome, dude.
Tight.
So good.
And then with the Ahsoka show, I feel like we need to have Rex's on-screen death because he's been with us for so long. He can't just die off-screen or like... He can die peacefully like Yoda, that's fine. But I want to see him, like, be badass in live action because he's in Attack of the Clones.
I feel like it'd be really emotional if he was in the Ahsoka show and he died saving or protecting her in some way.
Exactly.
Because they, literally the beginning of Ahsoka's career, Rex was there.
Yep.
And then season 7, Rex is there. Mm. You know, it's only fitting that at the end of his life,
and
Ahsoka
also,
is there.
They're working together in the Rebels timeline. They're working together in the Bad Batch.
Yeah. They have, I think, obviously at this point, because the whole Darth Vader thing, Ahsoka and Rex, they have a bigger connection than even Anakin and Rex, because they never got to keep that relationship going.
Mm-hmm.
So Ahsoka and Rex, they're like them Clone Wars boys.
Yeah, because then Kenobi, you know, bounces.
Kenobi would be. I honestly think Ahsoka is probably going to make an appearance in Kenobi, and she's going to be like, why aren't you helping? I think it's going to just be
a present,
during, whatever that time period, and she's going to be like, what are you doing here? Like, there's so much we could be doing.
And then
in the
she's
going to
see Luke and be like,
and Obi-Wan's going to be like, I have a higher calling. Do you know who that kid is? He's all really important, you know?
And that's why Ahsoka in the, tiny spoilers.
Yeah.
For the Book of 5 and 6. That's why she says that
yeah.
in episode 6, which we'll get to. Which I feel like you'll have something to say.
Oh my God.
We'll get there.
I love that episode.
All right, so Mandalorian.
I watched it again today with a smile.
Hop in there. We got Favreau and Filoni coming in hot with a bunch of sick directors. You can check them out in the gallery, one of them being Bryce Dallas Howard, who's honestly my personal favorite Mandalorian / Book of Boba director.
Okay.
She just knows what's up, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't hurt that her dad, Ron Howard, did Solo.
For me, Filoni, like, takes it.
Filoni takes the game. He doesn't direct. He just writes.
I think he directed episode 6, a book.
Did he direct it or did he just write it?
I believe he directed
it. I will double check. I know he directed the first episode that Ahsoka pops up in. I know that was him for sure. I don't know if he did episode 6, a book.
He has... And I just like it because he knows so much about Star Wars. So when he makes an episode,
he knows
all
how to do
the
it.
References are in there.
Well, he was the showrunner for
the
Clone Wars.
Yeah, and that's my favorite thing about him is he's like, Clone Wars stuff, I'm all over it. I can make these connections and I can make them work.
And the reason why that they let them do this with The Mandalorian and all this stuff was because Filoni and Favreau were given like the go-ahead from Kathleen to just be like,
yep.
Just do something to save us.
She's like, please don't make this a loss.
We already had too many of those.
So The Mandalorian is a live-action Star Wars television series developed by Lucasfilm. The series takes place about 5 years after the events of Star Wars Episode 6, Return of the Jedi.
Oh, he did direct it.
It airs exclusively on Disney streaming service Disney Plus, which launched on November 12, 2019.
Hell yeah.
Jon Favreau is the writer and executive producer of the series. Directors include Dave Filoni, Deborah Chow, who's directing all of Kenobi, Rick Fumiyiwa, Bryce Dallas Howard.
Oh, he's great. I think Fumiyiwa did Shang-Chi.
No.
No.
No, it was an Asian director that did Shang-Chi.
I think Fu Manchu is a
Fu Manchu is a black guy.
I'm thinking of the other dude then. There's a dude that's, I think he's Blasian. If that doesn't sound terrible.
That doesn't sound great.
It doesn't sound great, but I don't know. I don't know what else to say.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
I mean, with a last name like Fumiyiwa, you could have fooled me.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was good to say, but you could have fooled me.
I could have fooled.
So season one episodes debuted on Fridays at 8:01 UTC, 3:01 a.m.
I'm sorry, Destin EST. Daniel Cretton. Credit where credit is due. That's the guy.
With the exception of the first and seventh episodes of that season, after the first season's conclusion, an eight-episode behind-the-scenes series was released in May 2020, titled The Gallery. And October 30th, 2020, the second season premiered on Disney Plus
for
season two. Yeah, it's two
episodes. It's one episode, and then it's the finale episode that talks about Lukey Boy.
Yes. So if you want to go and check those out, because I'm sure there's a lot of people who just saw The Gallery and were like, I don't want to look at art.
It's a lot of Filoni love.
It is good, though.
It's a lot of them going, Filoni's the best. Why can't we get more of him?
If you have any interest in how these shows are made, go watch The Gallery episodes, because they are...
Same with the assembled episodes of the Marvel content. Those are pretty solid. I'm still waiting on the I'm still waiting on What If and Spider-Man.
I want to watch the Loki one.
The Loki one is good.
Because a lot of the stuff in that show, I was like, how do they do this?
Yeah, Loki's good and Shang-Chi is tight. The Shang-Chi one's really good.
All right, so let's jump into the first chapter of 8. Chapter 1, The Mandalorian. After completing a bounty for Guild Leader Greef Karga, a Mandalorian bounty hunter accepts an under-the-table commission on the outpost world of Nevarro from an enigmatic client with connections to the former Galactic Empire.
The client.
The client. I would like to see the baby. The client directs the Mandalorian to find an unnamed 50-year-old target who the client's colleague, Dr. Pershing, insists be brought back alive.
We're the 50-year-old client.
But Werner Herzog, who is the guy who plays the Imperial client, he's like, I don't care. I understand sometimes things happen, so just get me the baby. He doesn't call it a baby, though.
Yet. Oh, yeah.
The Mandalorian receives a single bar of Beskar steel, sacred to his people, as a down payment.
He takes the steel
to convert to a Mandalorian enclave, where the armorer uses it to make him a pauldron. The Mandalorian then travels to the planet, to the target's last reported location, where Vapor Farmer Queel is tired, if he was tied up, that'd be kind of fucked. He is tired. He's tired of constant bounty hunting activity in his area and hopes the Mandalorian can end it, because everyone's looking for this 50-year-old target.
Yeah,
Queel directs the Mandalorian to a heavily defended encampment where he reluctantly works with a bounty hunting IG-11 droid to clear the camp and find the quarry, a child. IG-11 attempts to kill the infant per its bounty orders, but the Mandalorian shoots it and destroys the droid, taking the child alive. And the child is, of course, a baby Yoda. And everybody collectively shit themselves when they saw that for the
including
first time.
Including me.
I was like, this is...
I was like, that's unreal.
I was like, that is like, a baby.
Impossible.
Oh my god, I didn't... What? Where did that come from? But they're like, he's 50. I'm like, he's a 50-year-old baby.
It's nuts, man. I just can't.
Yeah, so this episode, I think, overall served as a really good intro to the series. They showed you, obviously, what Din is all about. He's a bounty hunter. He's pretty straight edge on things, and he's pretty hardcore, too.
Yeah.
Except for when, what are they called? The Blurgs? I think those are what Queel rides.
Big fucking
when he lands on the planet, he almost gets murdered by two of them.
Yeah, the Blurgs are actually from the Ewoks movies.
Oh, solid.
Yeah, man, you learn that in the gallery. You learn some fun facts in the gallery. The gun is from fucking the holiday special.
It's cool Boba Fett's original bolt caster. Yeah, it's pretty sick.
Very tight.
Or is a bolt rifle, whatever it's called.
Yeah, whatever.
The Mithril makes his first appearance here, and he doesn't have a name. He's just the Mithril.
Still has no name. Probably won't get a name.
Yeah, probably won't ever come back. He's played by Horatio Sanz, who's since been canceled for some stuff that came out about him in the early 2000s. So
a little rough.
If you want to look into that, go for it. We're not brave enough for politics.
We're just saying it's rough.
Yeah, we just don't like it. And yeah, it shows you that even though he's badass, it kind of sets the tone. It's like we're putting a child of this kind of caliber at the end of the episode, so you can kind of expect that this kid's going to be a little bit of a mainstay for at least a while.
Yeah.
Little did we know.
He's the guy.
Looking at a cup with Grogu on it right now.
Oh yeah, Courtney's cup. that's not all, man. I got Pops. I got the Pope 3D print.
Oh, I know.
I got the Valentine's Day baby.
There's a lot of Grogu material, dude.
I actually had to put some stuff away, I think. The Legos are over there, my Lego stash. I got a lot.
It's crazy how much Grogu merchandise came about.
What do you mean? I mean, dude.
Well, look at even that one. You have the Grogu sitting over there, and he's got like the Valentine's Day like
hearts on them.
I mean, like, I'm like, what is that?
When he was introduced, what is that? I was like, merch.
Well, obviously.
Mando has a lot of merch. You can see my little Mando shelf. Mando's got a decent amount of merch, but Grogu easily trumps every single piece of Star Wars merch.
Low-key, Greedo was only in the fucking, like, original movies for, like, 2 minutes.
Greedo's got a surprise.
He's got a million things of
because he's such one of those weird characters.
Shows him in Clone Wars, like, once.
Yeah. And then he's in some comics in the Legends. And he's going to be in the Han Solo and Chewie book. Yes.
I mean, I knew there was going to be merch. I just had no idea how big this kid was going to be.
Yeah,
like, people who I never would have even thought would talk about Star Wars are like, oh, did you see Baby Yoda? I'm like, do you even know who Yoda is? Yeah.
Your aunt's like, Baby Yoda's the best.
I'm like, do you even know who Yoda actually, like, is? I'm like, because this kid's not going to be named Baby Yoda. And y'all are going to be really sad when that, like, comes
to pass.
Well,
that's why the sales were never Baby Yoda. It was the child.
Always the child
because they couldn't call him fucking Baby Yoda.
Yeah,
but then we got his name in season two.
I love it. I think in the gallery, John says, "Yeah, we called him Baby Yoda too."
Well,
he's like, we knew. He's like, yeah, this is his name. Yeah.
They probably. I wonder if they knew his name in season one.
I feel like Filoni might have said that they did. They just didn't want to, like, say anything to anybody.
They didn't want
to
ruin.
They were like, if this leaks out,
I remember. We'll talk about this when we get to episode six, season two. I mean, a couple weeks from now. I remember when they said his name in the Ahsoka episode, and I was like, what? I was like, his name's what?
His name's Goku?
I was like, what the fuck?
You guys put a Dragon Ball character in Star Wars?
I was like, his name's what? So.
Yeah, so. That's the first episode. We get introduced to the little kid, just barely, and we get introduced to Mando and how he operates.
Yeah.
Which is sometimes really cool, sometimes very poorly. Chapter 2, The Child. The Mandalorian returns to his ship with the child to find it being stripped. Dude, this sucked.
Yeah.
For parts
the
by Jawas.
The Jawas are getting it. Because they think he's dead.
This episode low-key, like, blows. But it has moments.
Well, it's because they said all the guys that went to go get him before all got killed.
Yeah.
So Queel's just, like, expecting, and the Jawas are like, not coming.
Yeah, the Jawas are like, this guy's not coming to get his stuff back. He's already dead. Who cares?
And he's like, hey, what the fuck?
Mando attacks the Jawas, but they escape in their sandcrawler. He tries to chase after them and, like, fight them on their sandcrawler, and they beat the piss out of them.
Yep.
The next day, Queel helps the Mandalorian locate the Jawas and negotiate for the return of the ship's components. The Mandalorian agrees to retrieve the egg of a rhinoceros-like mudhorn in exchange for the stolen parts. He and the child find the mudhorn's cave, but the beast attacks him and damages his armor. After a prolonged battle, the mudhorn is about to kill the Mandalorian. Badass scene, by the way. He just, like, pulls a knife out and, like, puts his head down and accepts that he's probably about to die.
He's like, he gets fucked up.
Yeah,
dude. He gets, like, knocked.
He really does.
That thing's gonna get him.
But, like, first time, like, I watched it, I was like, no way out unless the kid is force sensitive. I'm like, unless he's actually Baby Yoda, there's no way out of this.
And then he doesn't.
And then the kid lifts the mudhorn, catches it off guard.
That's why he's got the
drops
mudhorn
it,
on his arm.
And Mando's able to stab it and kill it.
And they get the egg.
They get the egg, take it back to the Jawas, who crack it open. They're like, suga!
Suga!
And they eat its yellow insides.
Yummy, yummy.
A really gross thing to watch.
Very much so.
With the ship's components returned to him, the Mandalorian works with Queel to repair the ship, and somehow they just do it.
Yeah,
the Mandalorian then leaves the planet
with
the child.
Oh, dogs are engineers, so why not?
Yeah, I mean...
Would it be racist?
I'm going to say, it's just... His ship gets destroyed a lot.
His ship sucks.
A lot
it's
of,
falling
a
apart
lot of
even before they touch it.
Get destroyed a lot in Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the Mandalorian's able to just fix his ship out of, like, the worst circumstances and get it in the air.
He's taught well.
I'm going to jump to season two real quick when the giant spider, like, crushes his ship and puts a hole in it. He's like, I think I can get it limping to the next planet. Only pressurized part of the ship's going to be the door. I'm like, it's a big ass hole in that thing. How are you even getting it in the sky, right?
Yeah, I don't know. They do it. They manage.
A little weird, but all right. Maybe they got fancy Star Wars tools.
They manage.
So yeah, episode two. You have anything you want to say about episode two aside from the suga?
I like the egg stuff. I think it's funny because you don't think they're just gonna cut it open and then just fucking dip their hands in it, but they're like, fucking yeah.
I thought they were gonna do something with it. They just, like, collectively just start.
I'm like, it's like, what the fuck?
I'm like, that was worth the entire ship's worth of parts just so you guys could all get a handful
so
of.
Like, they probably get high as fuck on the egg too.
Probably. It's probably some hallucinogenic garbage.
It's gotta be. I mean, especially what we've seen from the Tuskens, and the Tuskens and the Jawas have probably very similar, like, cultural significance.
Dude, when they kill the Krayt dragon in season two, I'm pretty sure when the Tuskens hold up the pearl, they go, Yeah. I'm like, egg. I'm like,
they're gonna eat it, bro.
Everyone eats stuff. What's up with these like masked species wanting to eat the like eggs and pearls of creatures?
Dude, they've been around in this desert for years. Why not?
You just sell it for money or hatch another one.
Hatch another one. It'll be another one.
That'd be sick, dude. Tusken that owns a crate dragon.
I think that's in one of the expanded novels. Crate dragons are being like used in.
I could buy that. Like,
as warriors or something.
Similar to Rancors. If you could raise it from like a baby
and what make it yours. What does a baby crate dragon look like?
We barely knew what an adult one looked like until recently.
We only saw the skull.
They actually released like an art or concept art from a Mandalorian book. Yeah. And there's a page in that book that has like 7 or 8 different designs of what the crate dragon should look like.
Yeah, this is the one from Mando.
Yeah.
Then we have the one from Episode 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the one from the Resistance. Here's one of the books.
There's the one, that's the one from KOTOR. Yeah. That's what it looks like.
And then there's one like from the Resistance show or something, because that's the only art style I can recognize.
That looks very similar to the one in KOTOR. It could just be a different art style. Artist, yeah.
Okay.
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 Okay. Chapter 3, The Sin. The Mandalorian delivers the child to the client on Navarro and collects the bounty, 20 bars of Beskar steel. Very nice.
Yeah, man.
Uncharacteristically, the Mandalorian asks about the client's plans for the child and is told they are not his concern.
But we know, as Star Wars fans, it's cloning.
We know, as Star Wars fans, the second he asked about the baby, that he wasn't about to just walk away from it.
Well, he does.
Right.
Until he comes back.
Until he comes back, because he asked about the baby.
He gets the armor and he comes back.
He actually also asks Greef Karga about the baby. He's like, what are they doing with it? And Greef's like, I don't know, I didn't ask.
He's like, I don't care.
He's like, who gives a shit? He's like, we all got paid, and you're like the talk of the town, so who the fuck cares? So
you're the guy.
You know what's fucked up? Mando would have had like the best career ever after this, probably, if he just didn't go and get the baby.
If he didn't quit. But then again, his career is still pretty good, because he still manages to have money.
Baby.
And he has a son.
And a baby.
He has a foundling. So he gets to treat this one how they treated him, which I hope is good. Because he seems like he's pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
So I hope he treats it better.
Yeah.
Because he's like, no droids.
Mando's going to be like, you want to be a terrorist? And Grogu's going to be like, yes.
Daddy, yes.
All right, our goal is to go find the mines of Mandalore so we can get back accepted back into the terrorist cult.
Woo!
Sounds good, Pops. I'm in.
Wait till I get my helmet and never take it off.
The way this is. Whoa. Returning to the Mandalorian Enclave, the armorer replaces the upgrades the Mandalorian's damaged armor and weapons using most of the Beskar steel. The Mandalorian accepts a new job, he does look tight, from Greef Karga and prepares to depart. Feeling guilty for abandoning the child, he returns to the client's base and kills the stormtroopers guarding. He murders the sheriff.
He fucks him up with his little needlers.
Pew pew, the whistling birds. Yes. Yeah, those are sick. He rescues the child from Dr. Pershing's laboratory where it's being experimented on, but chooses not to kill the doctor.
Side note,
Dr. Pershing, he has a patch on his arm, and it's the patch of the Kaminoan cloners.
Yeah.
The theory is that the woman from Bad Batch, the one who was like Omega's friend pretty much, that gets taken off world. I think that's who it is, Lamasu. The theory is that this guy would become one of her, like, students, and that's why he's more empathetic towards the things that he's working on. He doesn't see them just as projects, he sees them kind of like as, you know, creations that they're responsible for now. It's like, we're not just
creating. He would definitely be under the Kamino unit for whatever. Since he has the thing, and we know they're from Tantus, because they reveal Tantus, and that's where Luke comes
Also, the way
from.
That he acts, he's like, you know, I did my best to keep the child alive, so very much better, like Lamasu, where they were like, kill Omega, we don't need her anymore. Yeah. And she was like, I'm going to do everything I can to save Omega now, you know?
And
so
he does the same thing in Season 2 when he comes back. He's
I would say you could probably expect to see a young Dr. Pershing in Bad Batch
just
Season
as like a
2.
Little aside.
Just as a little
They're not going to like make him huge.
No,
maybe they'll give him like an episode. Like
they might go to Mount Tantus, right? And Lamasu will be there, and they'll be like, and like he'll walk in, and he'll be like, "Whoa!" She'll be like, "Don't shoot him. That's Dr. Pershing. He's my assistant."
Yeah,
right.
And then it'll be voiced by the same guy.
Yeah, and he'll be like, "Oh, I don't know what to do."
Yeah, and then that's it.
And then that's all it needs to be.
All we
that's
need.
All needs to be.
That's what Star Wars needs to be.
I can write Star Wars so good.
We can all write Star Wars so good.
So good.
Star Wars is very easy to write.
It is. So why don't they?
Mando seems to be doing it. Every Mando episode slaps, so the Mando writers are great.
Some of them less than others.
I mean, there's only one or
episode
two that I would say.
Episode 4 is a little, like, iffy.
But they got Cara Dune in there. It's because they did 47 Ronin, or not 47 Ronin, Seven Samurai. They just were like, we're kind of copy Seven Samurai. Here we go.
Mando gets the baby from Dr. Pershing, and he starts going back to his ship. But then he gets ambushed by Greef Karga and all the other bounty hunters because they're like, that's still a bounty, bro. We'll take it. You know, why not?
We'll get the money back.
Plus, you make us look bad. He refuses and a firefight begins. He's outnumbered and cornered, but the Mandalorian is then saved by the other Mandalorians.
Including Paz Vizsla.
The Death Wash Mandalorians, who are terrorists. And they all arrive attacking the bounty hunters, and they allow him to escape this with his ship way. And the child.
This is the way.
That's episode 3.
Yeah, dude.
It's episode 3, baby.
The first 3 episodes are really good.
Yeah, I like
the first
3.
It's a little slow in 2, but...
I think 4 drags it down a little bit, because they're like... Side quest.
Yeah, a lot of the Mando becomes a side quest after, like, they have arcs of, like, big chunk, side quest. Big chunk, side quest, finale.
Even episode 2 feels like a side quest. It's like, we didn't have to have an entire episode where a ship gets dismantled by Jawas.
We didn't, but
Creel could have just been like, I watched your ship, it's good.
Jawas came, but I fucked him up.
Jawas came, and I was like, no, this is mine.
I trust him.
And they were like, okay.
I have spoken.
Then you didn't have to do all this.
But too late.
And we're not friends because you only spent like 5 minutes with me. No, they'd still be friends. He taught him how to ride the blurg.
Training on the blurg. Well, no, he wouldn't have to. Oh, no, he had to ride on
the blurg. He had to ride him there, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
Gotta be riding them blurgs. Chapter 4, Sanctuary. Sanctuary! Arriving on the sparsely populated forest planet Sorgon, the Mandalorian encounters ex-Rebel Alliance shock trooper turned mercenary Cara Dune. Dune is hiding and asks the Mandalorian to leave so as to not draw attention to the planet.
First.
This is so stupid. Planets are huge. He could just go to the other side. I hate this. Mm-hmm. Anyway, no one's looking for her anyway. He prepares to leave, but is approached by desperate fishermen who offer to hire him. They want him to drive off a band of Clatoonian raiders that have been attacking their village.
Clatoonians.
Yeah, that's always fun.
Yeah, man.
He accepts the job in exchange for lodging and uses their credits to enlist Dune's help. They are housed by Omera, a widowed mother, and the Mandalorian confides in her.
Who Mando almost leaves, like, his whole mission behind for.
Dude, he's like, this is kind of nice. This is, like, almost what my family was like until they all got murdered. He confides that no one's ever seen him without his helmet since his tribe took him in as an orphan child.
And then she just tries to grab it and take it off.
Yeah, she tries to take it off. Well, that happens actually at the end.
Yeah, but...
At the very end, but it does happen. It definitely happens. The Mandalorian and Dune help the villagers, and Dune, when I see just Dune, I'm like, Dune, sand power.
Sand.
Desert power. Yeah, desert. That's what it is. Almost sand power. Anakin is rolling in his grave. Help the villagers drive the raiders away and destroy an old Imperial AT-ST the raiders
That's
are using.
Cool. I got it's that cool. Lego. We got that Lego.
Yeah, we do have that one, because we thought Cara Dune was getting canceled, and there was never going to be another set with her, and then Moff Gideon's cruiser came out, and she was in it, and we were like, okay.
Well, also, I wanted the Mando, because I needed a Mando without Beskar on.
And now he's.
No, I need a Mando with Beskar on.
And now he's in the fucking Slave One ship that you're probably going to get at some point.
I don't know.
I like it. It's cool.
It's just Boba Fett's ship.
Yeah, I like it.
I like sets that have a little bit more gumption to them now. Like, the AT-ST team's cool because I don't. You know.
Biggest complaint is the AT-ST is the same size as Boba Fett's ship now.
It's like. Wait, because the Legos for
might
scale.
Even be a little bit taller.
Well, dude, there's a large. It's a huge, like, collector's edition.
There is a Slave One that is to scale.
And it fits Boba in the middle still.
It's like $500 because they don't make it anymore.
Yeah.
It was $250, I think, when it first came out. Trust me.
You would have.
I looked.
Just in case.
With peace restored, the Mandalorian plans to leave the child in the village, but a guild bounty hunter finds them and is killed by Dune. Realizing the child is not safe in the village, the Mandalorian departs with child.
And then Dune also departs at some point because
she just
there
pieces.
Next time.
She's like, all right, I guess he left, so I'll leave because I have to be in the show again later.
And then we see her again at the end of the show. Oh no, I think he actually does go back to the planet and picks her up. I think that's the thing because I remember she's fighting on that like thing that's tied to her.
Yes,
yeah.
she does.
She's still on the same planet.
She
comes
does
back,
get picked up.
And then she
him.
Stays in Tatooine. That's what it is. We figured it out. We got it, boys.
She doesn't even go to Tatooine. She goes back to Navarro with Mando.
I thought she teams up with Greef Karga.
No, she teams up with Mando from a call from Greef Karga. He's like, come back, everything's chill now. If you just bring the kid, all will be well.
Oh, that's the end of the season. I'm talking about season 2 when she stays on Tatooine.
No, she's just there on Navarro with Greef Karga. She's the marshal. She just is the marshal.
Yeah,
she's not on Tatooine.
That's Navarro?
Yeah, it's Navarro.
Navarro's another sand planet?
It's not sand. It's kind of like dingy and grimy. It's not really sandy. It's more like...
Oh, it's one that has the volcano in it,
yeah, it's
right?
the lava flats.
Yes, okay. Yeah. Okay, I wanted to make sure. Because I was... Yes. Too many things. Too many planets.
It's all right. We'll get there. Yeah. It's in here somewhere.
Well, that's in season 2.
Chapter 5, The Gunslinger. The Mandalorian defeats a pursuing bounty hunter in a dogfight. He lands his damaged ship at a repair dock run by mechanic Pelimoto and Mos Eisley on
Pelimoto.
Tatooine. Yeah, Pelimoto.
Amy Sedaris.
She shows up
in everything now.
She's hilarious, man.
She's the best fucking side character in Bobo.
I hope she's his mechanic all the time.
She has to be. She's cheap and she gets the shit done.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And she does it really well.
And she also babysits.
Yeah.
When the baby's around.
She's like low-key the best mechanic you could ask for. Yeah. And she's very personable.
Yeah, she is.
She's just like, hey,
what's up? I found this ship for you.
You want to hang out? You want to be best friends?
This isn't a Razor Crest.
That's next week. For us, like 20 minutes. He seeks work in a cantina to pay for the repairs, meeting aspiring bounty hunter Toro Calican.
Yeah, this guy.
Who is tracking elite mercenary and assassin Fennec Shand. I'm going to read my one note now. In the cantina, the frog lady from season 2 is there.
And the ant guy.
So it's definitely the same frog lady. Dab.
I found it.
Because it's the only note for the entire show.
When you showed me the clip, they linger on her for more than like a passing second. They also linger on the ant guy for more than a passing second.
They're like, look, aliens in the bar.
Like, wonder what's going to happen season 2.
Wonder if they overhear each other talking about Mandalorians. Calican needs to catch Shan to join the guild because he's a newbie and he sucks and he's really lame.
He doesn't need to catch Fennec. He just wants to catch Fennec because
he could have done
for his
any job.
He just needed to do something that was somewhat high paying.
He's probably one of those guys who's like, I don't want to work my way up there. I just want to do the coolest thing at the beginning and then be the best.
He just wants to be the guy.
But he's not the guy. Which we come to find
out. We find that out very quickly.
We find that out so quick.
I just bought those binoculars.
Yeah.
Give them to the Tuskens or they're going to eat you. Like, what do you mean?
Hey, those were brand new. They were. That's so good. He sits down. He's like, let's go. Mando agrees to help in exchange for the bounty reward. He says he could keep the entire reward. He just wants the cred. They capture Shand in the desert, but she destroys one of their speeder bikes. I feel like this is such a short thing of what happened. They have this whole cool sequence where they're throwing flashbangs in the sky, so she's getting blinded and they roll up on her. It's sick. And she blows up Mando's speeder. While the Mandalorian retrieves a dewback for transportation, Shand tells Calican that the Mandalorian betrayed the guild by stealing the child, making the bounty on him and the child worth more than hers. Shan offers to help Calican capture the Mandalorian if he sets her free, but he shoots her instead and rides the remaining speeder bike to the repair dock, taking Moto and the child hostage.
And this guy gets got.
It's almost like the guy with Beskar armor shows up. The Mandalorian arrives. Oh my god. Disorients Calican with a flare. You know, the thing that they were using to fight Fennec, which some reason they decided not to put in this synopsis, but whatever. He uses Calican's money to pay Moto for the repairs and leaves Tatooine, because fuck this place.
Yeah, that even sucks, but they always go back.
It can be cool, if you want to do cool things.
Only Freetown is cool.
Only Freetown. Mos Pelgo.
We don't call it Mos Pelgo.
You don't call it Mos Pelgo. It's Freetown. Why? Because that's what it was called in Legends. Oh, okay.
I think it's actually called Freetown in the Aftermath comic as well, when the Aftermath comics can.
Hey, buddy, you're fucked.
The Aftermath trilogy, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Some nerds will yell
at me. What is Aftermath?
It's the ones that take place after episode 5. Darth Vader's in one of them. And then the other two take place after 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Charles Soule's.
I love Charles Soule's novels.
Who's writing the Kenobi comic?
You've read Charles Soule.
I read the comic that he did that Anakin and Obi-Wan were both in on that snow planet.
Yeah, he's
and
awesome.
We were both like, ooh.
You're like, yay. You're like, oh my god, it's so good.
It is. He's creaming over Obi-Wan as much as I was.
Yeah, Charles Soule's tight. He knows what's up.
Chapter 6.
Woo.
The Prisoner.
Almost done.
Yeah, we're getting
my
there.
My boy, Miggs Mayfield.
We're really running through this.
This is my favorite episode.
When we cover 2 episodes, it's probably going to take longer than to cover all of these.
Because there's a lot of stuff.
Or probably a similar amount of time, depending on how many notes you
have. There's one news. I have no notes because I just watched the show and go with it based off what you got.
All right, sweet.
Yeah.
This is good. We're like Mr. Sunday movies.
I'm Nick. I'm Mason. Yeah. And you're fucking...
Mason, these are the notes you had written down. Tell me what I had written down.
Yeah, exactly.
The Mandalorian... Oh, I'm sorry. Chapter 6, The Prisoner.
Yes.
The Mandalorian contacts his former partner, Rand Malk.
Bobby something.
It's like a weird way to say milk.
He's in Sons of Anarchy. He's the main character in that. So I recognized him, and I was like, oh, cool.
That guy. I did not recognize him, and I was like, is that Hagrid? It's not.
I think he's actually in one of the Pirates movies, too.
He could be. He's got the beard for it.
Yeah.
Rand Malk for work, and is offered a place... And is offered a place in a 5-man job. He was joined by ex-Imperial sharpshooter Mayfeld.
Woo!
Devronian strongman Berg, Droid Pilot Q90.
The guy from It Crowd and the Neighborhood Watch.
And Twilight Knife expert Jam.
I don't know who she is, but she's cool.
I think it's the girl from Harry Potter who marries the dog man. You don't Harry Potter?
I only Fantastic Beasts.
Okay.
And I've seen one Harry Potter movie, I don't know which one.
Knife expert Jan for the mission to rescue Jan's brother, Quinn.
She has some relations with the Mando. Sounds like they sexed.
But they're not going to talk about it. With the helmet on. They're not going to talk about it.
They talk about it.
Not really.
She go.
They're just like, we have history.
Yeah,
she's like, history. You left me. And he's sex like, history. Okay.
He's like, that sucks, bro. This is the way. Celibacy.
I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do this. She probably just gave him head. And then he was like, sweet, and bounced. Because she was like, all right, now you have to take off the helmet and reciprocate. And he was like, okay, why don't you go freshen up? I'll be right here. And then she came back, and the Razor Crest is like, gone.
The Mando doesn't fucking... The Mando's a pillow princess.
Dude, he can't reciprocate because that would require taking the helmet off. I can't get too far into it the other way either because it gets really hot in this helmet.
Like, it's really sweaty.
I can fight and stuff, but I can't do...
I can just imagine you just lift it over your mouth.
I don't think that's okay.
You don't think it's okay?
I don't think it's okay.
You don't think the armorer would be like, that's fine.
I think they could take a picture of the bottom of his face and then use AI to probably create an image of what it looks like. And they're like, that's too much.
I think they could just use X-ray vision.
Low-key, he does drink soup next to Grogu. He like lifts his helmet a little bit, drinks the soup, and then puts it back on.
You can lift it up a little bit, give kind of.
But in all fairness, he's covering his face like with his hand and the soup bowl, so...
He's going to cover his face with something else. So, you know.
Another guy's face. Another guy entirely. No,
he's going to cover his face with some thighs.
All right, Mando, go for it. And then he's like getting down and he like taps the bed and another guy comes up and he's like, you're in, pal. She looks down. You're not the Mando. The guy's like, ah. This got off course so fast.
Star Wars sex is an interesting topic.
They're going to get her brother Quinn, who's a prisoner of the New Republic. He does suck. It's a good thing he's not around for very long.
Only, I think, two of them are alive now. No, Berg's alive, too. The three are alive.
Yeah, the droid was on the Razor Crest.
Yeah, he's just ahead.
He's gone.
He was ahead.
He's just gone now.
And then the other two got blown up.
Yeah.
Miggs we know is alive.
Yeah, Mayfeld's alive.
Yeah, and then Berg and the other chick are revealed to be alive in the prison, but they're not released.
We didn't even get there yet.
No, but we're there.
We're there.
They betray Mando once they get on the ship.
All right, let's just cut this down.
Because they need to replace
him. They go
to
the prison. They have this whole group. They betray him once they get Quinn out of the cell because they don't like
him. And they kill
Matt Lanter. And the other people don't care. Matt Lanter's there. They kill him after the Mando tries to make a case as to why they should not kill him.
And then Miggs controls
the... They're like, he's just a bro, man.
Yeah, and Mayfeld controls the third gun with his mind. That's canon.
That's pretty nuts.
It's very stupid.
I mean, it is kind of in line with Star Wars, yes. The cybernetic implants and stuff. But when you put a Bluetooth receiver on your like cerebral cortex and then turn on your TV by thinking about it.
Me and Courtney were rewatching it back in the day, and she's like, how did you control the third gun? Because it's moving. And I'm like, well, it could be AI, just like a droid gun.
Yeah.
Or probably mind powers. And she's like, but he's a human. I'm like, everyone's a human in Star Wars, right? Like, for Jedi. And then it turns out it's like just with his mind, probably through cybernetics.
Probably
it doesn't go specific. Like, it's like weird.
It looks like it's like stuck into him or whatever.
It's on his back.
Yeah. Q90, he finds a message from Greef Karga while there. He's the only one who stays on the ship just to
Q90
monitor.
Q90 and he goes by Zero. It's
okay.
Very dumb.
Zero finds a message from Greef Karga to the Mandalorian saying, like, hey man, come back with the child and hand him off and we'll act like nothing bad happened.
Yeah.
Because this sounds on the up and up. So they try to throw Mando in a cell. He gets out of the cell because he's not an idiot. Then he does like a horror hunt down thing.
That's
beats
really
the piss
cool.
out of everybody.
Really cool.
Throws them all in the cell that
get
he
the
was
fuck
in.
Out of here, Mando!
And Quinn is like, don't kill me, Mando. You could still have your bounty. So Mando's like, okay. He takes him back to the planet, gets paid. And then while he's leaving, they're like, blow him up. But then they realize that they are holding the little tracker thing that Matt Lanter was actually holding. He was holding a little tracker that was going to call Republic ships
which
to
he
them
did press.
To blow them up. He did press it. And they were like, we got like 20 minutes. So Mando just brings it with him.
And I believe that's the guy from Kim's Convenience and then two other randos.
One of them is Dave.
Oh, no.
I think it's Dave.
I thought Dave pops
Deborah.
Up in this season, too.
No, I think it's Dave Filoni and Deborah Chow.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was, I forget what his name is, like Pac-Thon.
Yeah, I think it is Dave.
You think Trapper's in that one?
I do believe so.
Okay. I'll take your
word. I watched it a few days ago, but I also been watching season two, and he's in that, so I'm like... Yeah, I do think he's in it. I think that's his first appearance. Because I remember watching the Mando season one gallery, and they were like... You've never been in Star Wars. They're like, and John was the one who convinced him. He's like, come on, man. He's like, put yourself in.
He's like, I'm in Star Wars plenty of times.
And Dave's like, I don't want to ruin the illusion. He's like, you're not ruining the illusion. You make this. He's like, you want to say that you worked on, made Star Wars, but never put yourself in Star Wars? He's like, come on. So that was his thing. I'm fairly certain that he was in that episode.
Yeah. I believe it's three ships. Trapper Wolf, Jib Dodger, and Sasha Ketter.
Okay.
Jib Dodger is actually Rick Fumijawa. Fumijawa?
Yeah.
I thought it was a J because the Y is so close.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Yeah, so those three there. Three of them. His name is Jib Dodger. That's a great name. I need the Jib Dodger Black Series.
Please. Jib Dodger, please. 10 out of 10. Yeah, so Mando drops off Quinn, and they're like, oh, we'll kill him. But then the Republic guys show up, and Quinn realizes he's holding the transponder, and they blow up the station. I will say, we don't see them blow up the station entirely. We see them shoot a missile into the hangar. Yeah. It's a very real possibility Quinn did not die, and that he will be coming back in season 3 with a vendetta.
And Ranzar Malk?
I don't know. I don't know about him as much.
You don't think he can run?
He didn't really seem like a man of action anymore, to be honest. He seemed like I run the garage and give out the deals type thing.
Yeah.
So if anyone lived in that situation, I would like to believe it's Quinn, and it would be cool to see him come back with maybe cybernetics or something, because he got like fucked up.
Or maybe he's a new mod.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If they had blown up the station, I would be like, he's dead. Yeah. But it's like one explosion that goes off in the hangar, and then like a couple more. But I'm like, we've seen some explosions before that people are just like okay from. Mm-hmm. You know? So who knows? And that's pretty much that whole episode.
Big sick.
Chapter 7, The Reckoning.
They go back to Greef Karga. Yeah. He's like, cool now.
The Mandalorian receives a message from Karga, whose town of Navarro has been overrun by the client's troops, which means Imperial soldiers everywhere. Karga proposes that the Mandalorian use the child as bait in order to kill the client and free the town. In return, Karga would stop his guild from hunting the Mandalorian and the child. Sensing a trap, the Mando recruits Dune and Queel. Why Queel? He's not like...
Because he knows Queel.
He's just not for this. I know, he's just not for this.
Because he knows him.
I met you, like, recently. You want to help me?
I'm surprised you didn't try to get Migs again. But I feel like season 2.
Queel should have really been like, I'm just not coming.
Or I'll just help a little bit.
It's really not.
I'll give you the droid.
I don't feel like dying.
I'll give you the babysitter droid.
Yeah, they should have just given me
that. Because they go back to recruit him and they find IG-11 is actually a now nurse droid.
In all fairness, Din was even just not having IG. He was like, I don't...
He's like, it's a droid.
He's like, I don't want to do this.
But
he's like,
an assassin.
It was only like when he was forced into a corner and IG helped him when he was like, all right, fine, maybe you're cool.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
Just a little
bit. And he sacrificed himself. It doesn't matter.
Queel bringing along a rebuilt and reprogrammed IG-11 to protect the child. They meet Karga and his associates, but are attacked by flying creatures. Oh no, Karga is injured and the child uses the Force to heal him.
Just around the same time Rey heals the giant worm.
I'm pretty sure that this episode dropped like 2 days before episode 9 came out.
Because they couldn't let Rey just do Force healing by herself.
I remember that.
Force healing is also in like the extended media. It's just not in the actual like... When we know...
it's in games and stuff
Barriss Offee is actually part of the medical unit before she turns evil.
She can do that in the game. She can heal people.
Yeah.
What's up with that? Galaxy of Heroes, she can do that.
Yeah, because she's a Force healer.
Where's this Force healing?
I just said it.
Where is this?
There's actually a trilogy of novels starring her, but they're loosely canon because she's bad.
Obi-Wan, I'm dying. Well, Master, I can Force heal you. No, it's cool. You can train the kid.
Well, Obi-Wan doesn't know. He's a Padawan.
I know, but Rey does.
Rey's MacGuffin. She's part of the... She's Mary Sue. She's a part of the... I'm going to get lit up.
She makes it okay.
She's part of the Palpatines.
Listen, I like Rey, but that's one of the big ones that I'm like, what the... I'm like, who taught her how to do this?
Luke.
When and why? It seems like the first time she's talking to Luke since he told her, like, you're an asshole, pretty much, or she said that to him, was that in that movie,
mm-hmm.
when they had that interaction. But I digress. We're not talking about those movies.
Digression.
Thank God. Where am I? In return, Greef Karga murders his associates and confesses his original plan was to shoot the Mando and take the child to the client instead.
Maybe healed him, so he's like, owes the baby a debt.
Yeah. He's like, I feel bad now.
He's like, this guy's cool as shit.
Maybe you guys are pretty boss.
Yeah.
Instead, Karga pretends that Dune was captured the Mandalorian while Queel returns the child to the ship. During the meeting, troops led by the client's boss Moff Gideon. Moff Gideon. What if we... Boff Moss.
Grand Moss Gideon.
Boss Moff Gideon opens fire on the building and kill the client, trapping the Mandalorian, Karga, and Dune inside. Gideon arrives, demanding the child outside the town.
I want the child!
Two scout troopers kill Queel and take the child.
And the two scout troopers are Anna Pally and Jason Sudeikis.
Gee, I love Jason Sudeikis, dude. He is so funny.
I think Pally punches it, but Sudeikis is like, dude, it's in the bag. Just stop. Sudeikis punches it. The child.
No. Sudeikis, like, slaps the bag once.
Yeah.
He's like, I got the kid right here, smack.
Like, don't just hit the bag.
Yeah, he's like, what are you doing? And then the other guy sticks his hand in and gets bit, and then he punches it.
And then just pew, pew.
Yeah, they both try to shoot the little thing on the ground. Neither of them can do it. They start shaking the gun. They're like, is it the gun?
People say that they're not dead, and people also say that they're Tag and Bink from the comics. I would like to believe that.
I'd like to believe they're not dead. They got punched really hard.
Oh, one of those guys got fucking his... But they're wearing helmets. He just got slammed into his bike. The other guy got just punched. His
helmets are garbage. Do you remember what Boba does in season 2 to one of the helmets with the gaffy stick, which we thought might be metal for a long time, but we've come to find out it's just a stick.
It's a stick.
Yeah. That's pretty nuts.
I'd like to think Tag and Bink are alive.
I want to say they're okay.
That's what I'm calling.
I would like to say they're okay. I'm okay with saying that it's them and they're all right.
Yeah.
Chapter 8, Redemption. IG-11 defeats the scout troopers and rescues the child. Ta-da. Bum, 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 bum. Gideon informs Karga, Dune, and the Mandalorian that they will not be executed they will be executed if they do not hand over the child.
They don't have the child.
We don't have the kid. IG-11 arrives to save the others. Gideon's forces attack, and the Mandalorian is injured. He's super injured. He gets like his head fucking smashed into a wall, and he's all bleeding and dying.
Oh, yeah.
He instructs the others to escape and find help from his Mandalorian enclave while IG-11 removes his helmet to tend to his wounds. He's like, don't take off my helmet. No living thing has seen me I put it on. And he's like, I am not a living thing. And then he takes off his helmet. And Din's like, that's really good logic. Fix me.
Facts.
Joining the others afterward, the Mandalorian discovers that the other Mandalorians are gone except for the Armorer. She tasks him with returning the child to its kind before holding off the arriving stormtroopers.
And she fucks.
Dude, she does fuck. She fucks hard.
And we think she's dead. And then she's not.
I didn't think she was dead.
I thought she died.
I had a feeling we'd see her at all. I had a feeling we'd see her again at some point. I didn't think she was dead because none of the Mandos are really in. I thought Paz Vizsla was dead because you see that stack of helmets and the armor is the only one left. I'm like, okay, well, she's the only one that made it.
That is true.
But then Paz Vizsla shows up.
Second episode.
And we're like,
tight. Okay. Did they actually give him a name?
Yeah. I think that he had a name in this season, too.
No, they didn't give him a name. He obviously had a name. He's from Clan Vizsla. But it was in the expanded the book thing that says that Miggs has the mind control.
Okay. Yeah. The group escapes down an underground lava river on a ferry.
Yeah.
Which is being driven by a little R2 unit.
Little buddy.
It's awesome. It's ambushed by stormtroopers at the end of the tunnel. IG-11 self-destructs to defeat them.
Got him.
He says he's going to do it like 16 times. A Grief Karga still goes, where are you going? When he gets out of the skin.
That's funny.
I'm like, you idiot.
Like, why?
I'm like, dude, he said you what he was doing.
I have to blow up.
And he self-destructs and blows up all the stormtroopers. Gideon attacks in a TIE fighter, but the Mandalorian uses his newly forged jetpack to bring the craft down. After burying Queel, the Mandalorian embarks on his new mission and child while Karga and Dune stay behind.
With Moff Gideon seemingly defeated.
Yes, but he survives in the wreckage and frees himself with the Darksaber. My biggest question is, why wouldn't you go and check to make sure that he's a pile of ash?
Because the ship.
I'm like, that's the most dangerous fucking guy that I know about right now. I'm gonna make sure he's dead.
Go and kill him. What's this lightsaber? Oh shit!
Yeah,
Mando gets season one.
Some people have survived some crazy shit in Star Wars.
Do you mean Kylo Ren? When Rey cuts his thing and cuts the wing off and it goes,
I'm just saying.
He walks out.
I didn't see an actual kaboom and there's nothing left of the cockpit. Uh-huh. I'm going to check.
But even then, you said, yeah, but Quinn could have survived from that explosion in the hangar bay. You never know.
Could've.
So anyone could survive.
Yeah, you could have.
Baylor Valance survived an explosion, so why not?
Mace Windu survived getting his hand cut off and falling out of a building.
So says the actor. So. Sammy Jack says he's alive.
So says me.
He's like, throw me out a window now. See what happens. I'll survive.
Dude, I saw somebody on Twitter. They were like, if you fell out a window and just having your hand cut off, would you live? I'm like, are you a Jedi? Can you force jump and stop your fall and do any of those things?
Can you land on one of the flying cars?
You do have space magic. So that's a Mandalorian.
What if you landed in a space ambulance?
That's the first season of Mando.
Yeah, man. It's tight.
It is tight.
It's a tight 8 episodes.
It's pretty good. It definitely brings you in and makes you want to see more. Mm-hmm. And watching season 2, I can confirm it just is so much better.
It only gets better.
It's so much better.
There are highs and lows, but it only gets better.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you're like a more prequels, Clone Wars fan.
Yeah, like us.
I mean, there's stuff there for the OT people.
Yeah.
And even a little bit for the sequel fans.
But like, Mando, not really.
Mando Season 2 is there. Well, there's like a Snoke tease in Season 2.
Yeah, with the Gideon ship.
Oh, like, it's the episode I actually just watched. It's Episode 5, I think. Mm-hmm. 4 or 5 of Season 2. They're back on Navarro with Greef Karga, and they're like, oh, this is a military base, and they get inside, and they're like, oh, it's a lab, and you have all those tubes,
and one of them looks
and they
like
all
Snoke.
Look like Snoke.
Yep. It's like, and you're like, what the fuck is this? And
you're like, is that Snoke?
And they just don't talk about it.
Yeah, they're like, forget it. But it's probably going to come back around in Season 3.
Or in Bad Batch.
Or in Bad Batch.
We're going to go set up a base on Navarro. You.
Come with us.
Thomas' assistant. Go do it. You do. Sure, I guess.
I'll be in that.
Yeah.
Paychecks.
Paycheck. It's just a paycheck.
It's
what's
money.
Cloning to you? A paycheck.
Money in the bank, bro.
All right. Anything else you got before you want to close out on this subject and move on to book?
It's NFT, not Neft.
Yeah, that's a good ending. There we go. Neft.